Welcome to Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. I'll bring you all kinds of stories from all kinds of people. Whether it's a live public conversation and we're speaking from the kitchen table of my 1965 Beeline travel trailer, from the studios or on the streets, please sit back and enjoy the conversation right here this time every week. I woke up this morning thinking about my dear friend Alan Barabé. He died many years ago, in 2007, but in many ways it doesn't seem so long ago, and in other ways it does. And we talk about this sometimes, don't we? It leads me to think about time and how time shifts and time bends in a way, as our memory also does in a very nonlinear kind of way. And in thinking about time, thinking about his passing, I also became in this present moment very activated by our relationship and all that we shared with each other, all that I learned. Alan Barabé was a gay American historian and activist. He was a public or independent scholar. He liked to talk about how he was a college dropout. He was also a MacArthur recipient, which is also known as a genius award. And there's so much I can share about Alan, but to direct you to a couple of things. He was very well known for an extraordinary work of both research and history, which was Coming Out Under Fire. And in that book, he examined the lives of gay men and women in the U.S. military during World War II. I want to bring us to the Sullivan County Catskills, where he and I met, where he, as an out gay man, got to know everyone, was beloved, was a member of the volunteer fire department as fire police. He served twice on the village council. He was one of the founders of our revitalization group at the time. And as we sit in this moment with such a backlash against trans people and the gay community, we can also celebrate what people are doing in this moment and how these histories carry us from the past into this moment and beyond towards our liberation. None of us can do our best work until we believe that the life of the mind really does belong to us. From the essay, Intellectual Desire by Alan Barabé.
Hi, Sabrina. It's Alan. It's a little before 6 on Tuesday. Two things. One is I want to, as sundown has passed, I want to wish you a happy Hanukkah. And second, I want to see if you happen to have any kind of standard electric light-up menorah that we could borrow in the store. And that's it. Been having a good indoor day today, and I hope you have too, okay? Bye.
Have you been visited by a person who has died? I have, in my dreams. They talk to me and give me messages. They sit in my chairs and bring me songs of love, loving, and the many shapes of it. But I get caught up in fears, in grieving, and in disappointments. What do you think happens when we die? Alan visited me in my sleep last night. He stayed a long time, and it was wonderful. My friend Kate reminded me after my father died that a person's dying doesn't stop the relationship, and I found this to be true. I continue to talk to the deceased ones and share my life with them. Now, I know that this could all be coming from the imagination, but I've concluded that the origin is less important than the messages that are shared. If many physicists theorize that time is circular, then what's happening now has already happened before and will continue on and on and on. Time travel then becomes probable, and the continuum that we perch ourselves on is reverberating in another time and place. Well, I never thought I would be saying this, but I'm on my way to Alan's memorial service in Ferndale, New York. I'm hoping that, as sometimes happens at these kinds of events and celebrations of a beloved's life, that there's something that's uplifting in it and just really wonderful to see friends and family, all of the different connections that Alan had in his life. I've been trying to deal with all of the grief that's been welling up inside me, me being there with him and wondering what all of that is about and thinking about what it means to live a good life. I've just arrived at the CVI building and I'm going to head inside now.
Mr. Secretary, have the rolls been taken?
The rolls have been taken and all have answered except firefighter Alan Perrin.
We are gathered to pay our respects to a fellow member and firefighter who has answered this final call. He was a loyal member of our fire company and he stood forth a good person, highly regarded by all who knew him as a fellow firefighter. In the spirit of brotherhood and fraternal charity, may we recite these prayers together, realizing that someday we too will join the ranks of former firefighters. Our first prayer will be Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures, he gives me repose. Let us pray. O God, who said, as long as you did it for one of these, my children, you did it for me. Grant a fitting reward to Alan Baraday, who has given his name, time, and energy for the good of others. He gave his best day or night to help his fellow citizens. Grant eternal rest for Alan, who has answered his final alarm on earth. Grant a place of peace and joy for him now and forever. May he always have your blessings.
Amen.
Because of Alan Baraday and other firefighters, our lives are free. Because of them, our families live. Because of them, our homes are blessed. Let us not cloud our memory with thoughts of sorrow. Tears or words of sympathy cannot bring back the comfort of those loving hands. Only the solemn pride of service to others is theirs who live to remember. Firefighters and friends, let us pledge ourselves to a united service where we consecrate and dedicate our works by a devotion to mutual helpfulness in protection of those left behind. And finally to you, the family, the relatives, we realize your loss. May you be consoled with our promise for a continued devotion to firefighting and for the protection of property and life of our fellow man. And now may I ask that we recite together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for the life of Alan Baraday, and we ask that you keep him in your grace and presence. We are thankful for having him in our daily world where he was our brother, worked with us to protect and serve this community from the ravage of fire and protection of life. Amen.
Welcome to all of you for taking the time this evening to come out and help us celebrate Alan's life. I'm overwhelmed at the collage of people. It's only a testimony to all the people Alan touched in his life. We're going to keep this happy because Alan would want that. And especially thank the Liberty Fire Department. And I'd like to introduce you Superman from Liberty, Mr. Frank DeMayo.
Thank you, Maurice, and welcome everyone. A resolution of respect, Alan Ronald Baraday, December 3rd, 1946 to December 11th, 2007. Whereas the members of the town board and the people of the town of Liberty were deeply saddened and grieved to learn of the death of Alan Baraday on December 11th, 2007. And whereas Alan Baraday gave unsparingly of his time, energy, knowledge, and leadership as a Liberty Village trustee, member of the Liberty Action Plan, and board member of Liberty Community Development Corporation, the primary promoter of Liberty's Main Street and Historic District, active member of the local fire police, multiple business owner, and various organizations to which he belonged. And whereas MacArthur Award-winning Alan Baraday authored Coming Out Under Fire, a 1990 book that offered the first comprehensive examination of the roles gays played in the nation's armed forces, and whereas a former San Francisco and Manhattan resident, Alan Baraday realized the importance to celebrate the role of history in our lives while fostering local pride and maintaining community character and liberty, and now therefore be it resolved that the town board of the town of Liberty does hereby, speaking on behalf of all its citizens, extend to Allen's life partner, John Nelson, his mother, Florence, and three sisters, Florence, Jay, Annette, and Diane, this expression of sincere regret for his loss and the hope that they will be consoled by the memories of his fine life and achievements. By order of the Town Board of the Town of Liberty, dated December 27, 2007.
And now I'd like to introduce you to Dara Smith, a close friend of Alan.
I'm just going to read something that I wrote. Alan Barraby was my friend. I miss him very, very much. And there are many of you that feel the same, I'm sure. He was one of us. He'd accomplished so many things in his life. Some of them I knew about, some I didn't. But he was not one to talk about things like that. He was more about the day at hand, always looking forward and thinking about what could be done to make things better now. His idealism was contagious and inspired those around him, especially me. He was a simple man, honest and true. He valued his human connections above all things. I could always count on Alan. He was there recently when I had the flu and needed some chicken soup. He said, "Chicken soup cures everything, Miss Dara. I'll be right over." And in the fall, I always got fresh quince. Quince is a very limited fruit, but Alan loved them and prized the tree in his yard. He was there more than once when I needed someone to rescue the dried up flower baskets on South Main Street. He was there to hear me out when I was frustrated, and he had an amazing knack for putting a positive spin on anything, always looking on the bright side. He was there when I just wanted to talk, and I was there for him too. We remembered each other's birthday, always on the wrong day, and we'd laugh about it. We shared a very special bond. I met Alan on a sunny afternoon nearly 7 years ago at the summer home of mutual friends David Gibson and Jonathan Katz. I took an instant liking to Alan. We talked about all kinds of things, our backgrounds, interests, family, and the Liberty Alive Renaissance Project recently started. I also learned about Alan's passion for Airstream campers. He was the proud owner of one, which he had recently restored himself. It was parked in a field just behind the home we were visiting. When he asked if I wanted to check it out, I happily accepted the invitation. As we walked up the hill, I could see the shining beauty looking just as fabulous as the day it was born. As I recall, it was tiny, but it was so cute, right down to the yellow check curtains in the window. I'm not quite sure, but I think he even had a pink flamingo perched outside. It seems as though Alan had a thing for fake birds. Have any of you seen the giant chicken in his backyard? From then on, we were friends. He turned me on to Dick Benjamin's antiques, which we explored on a dreary day soon after our first meeting. I learned that he was a regular there and knew the complete layout of the many storage sheds and outbuildings that were piled with treasure. As much as we shared an interest in antiquing, we shared a passion for yard sailing, thrift shopping, and yes, dumpster diving. We were always looking for a find, a cast-off treasure that could be rehabbed, refinished, or just looked at in a new way. When we organized the first yard sale-a-rama, it was like heaven on earth for Alan. I was at home having a sale, which I considered drudgery, while he was out having fun. And the deals that he found, I was so jealous. Alan's store on Main Street was born of this passion. He collected so much stuff, and his garage was so filled that he had to open a store to make room to park his car. Alan was inspired by the project that Alive had started and jumped right in. I'll never forget how hard he and Sue D worked on cleaning up the stream behind LePolt Park. I have visions of the two of them working shoulder to shoulder, lugging bags of trash, tires, you name it, and clearing brush to reveal a beautiful brook and walking path. They were a force. This was the beginning of Alan's love affair with Liberty. He was drawn in, inspired by our dynamic and how we were working to improve Liberty. He loved the idea that we were all so different, yet we joined together to achieve a common goal, and he felt welcomed here. Alan loved all the house parties that followed the Alive work days. He rarely turned down an invitation, and he was a regular at our house. I remember one time in particular, I invited him to a special dinner. It was special because I was making Rube's favorite, venison parmesan. Alan was so excited, and he absolutely loved it. I was fortunate to take Alan out to dinner for his last birthday. We met at Yasso, his favorite. We talked about our plans for the coming year, and we laughed a lot. He loved the card and gift I gave him, a nightlight modeled after the Christmas Story leg lamp. He told me that we'd have to do something fun for my birthday, which was coming up. We capped off the evening with a luscious dessert, which we split, of course, because we were both watching our figure. In the emptiness of loss, I struggled to find something to ease my sadness. I looked at old emails and photos and called upon memories of good times spent with Alan. Then the other night, as I drove through the village, I thought, all I have to do is look around Liberty. He is here, everywhere I look. He touched so many people and brought about amazing change in our community. This was his home, and he loved it. We will never be able to replace our Alan, but we can embrace each other and remember him and remember what was so important to him. Thank you.
Since I was with my dear Alan when he died on December 11th, I felt that death has been one step behind me. All winter, I've been looking over my shoulder, and it's been exhausting. The unexpected suddenness of his dying scared me because it reminded me of that mysterious force that directs us. We palled around in our neighborhood of Liberty, New York, and I delighted in our adventures, his insights, and enthusiastic support. Since my heart broke on that December morning, life, with its surprises and sudden deaths, is shaking me up. While Alan lay unconscious in the hospital bed, I saw in that Tiresias sort of way a woman ecstatically greet him. I knew then that I was seeing him get ready to leave us and thought she must be his mother. Later, back at his house, I found a photograph of his mother, and she was the same person that I saw in that hospital room.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, I think we've done what we can do. So I would like to end this how I think Alan might like this. I would ask all of you to give a rounding cheer and applause.
Alan.
My name is Ken Wobbler, and I'm here talking with Sabrina. Alan made me realize that, you know, you don't always know when you're looking at a historian, and that this was this man who, it seems that he got interested in something and pursued it, and pursued it, and pursued it, and pursued it. So he was both sort of reflecting on history and gathering history. I'm glad to have this understanding of what historians are.
I have to say it was very uplifting to think of Alan and everything he's done and how much he's been able to inspire people.
We're here and there's the fire department, you know. I mean, I found that the most touching. I mean, I was like, you know, being gay and just have these guys, you know, paying tribute to him like that. I mean, that was fantastic. So, Stephen Palmer.
What I find most impressive from a distance about this most recent phase of Alan is the intentionality with which he moved into this community. He just like arrived. It seems that he just arrived and just set about becoming a piece of the fabric, and that was important to him. And when you say brings the revolution home, that's what brings the revolution home, because I've always been convinced that, you know, that we just need to say hi.
Well, I think, you know, Maurice at one point said, well, you know, I came back after all these years. I know why I did. These are my roots. But what the hell are you doing here? And then, of course, he realized that it was homecoming for Alan. It wasn't the same town, but it really was home, you know.
Van Morrow.
It was admired how involved he was in everything. And part of that, you know, integrating all the communities together, which he did better than most. It was great. There's one thing that I didn't hear anyone on stage say this evening that I always thought should be documented somehow, but no one remarked how unbelievably cute he was. He was beautiful. I tell the truth.
Way, Alan, I miss you.
Judy Siegel.
Hi. Someone said earlier that Alan was a gentle giant, and that's a nice way to think of Alan. He was someone that came into this community so quietly and made so many changes that affected all of our lives and that will affect them for years to come. And again, quietly and gently walking through, making friends through the community, in the fire department, in the coffee shops, on the street, pretty much everywhere we went. And I personally feel that I was blessed to know somebody as wonderful as Alan, and the community was blessed to have somebody like Alan in our space here. And we're a better town, and I'm a better person because he was here.
What I most remember about Alan is his enthusiasm for so many wonderful things. And he would encounter the little things and the big things, and he got so excited about them. And his enthusiasm was infectious, and the spirit and joy that he found in little and big things and ideas and objects was really fabulous. And I think the spirit and joy that I found in that.
I'm speaking with David Gibson. David, how long have you been friends with Alan?
Oh, probably about 15 years, I'd say. And I used to visit him in San Francisco, and he would host what we called David's Great Adventure, David Great Adventure Part 1, Part 2, Part 3 or 4. I don't know. I went several times. And when he moved to New York, he became a part of our family, lived with us. And he and I were really best friends in those years. I saw him, I lived with him and saw him all the time. How to cause a traffic jam in downtown Liberty by having Harry Potter. I think there was the first traffic jam in Liberty in about 35 years, the night we opened Harry Potter. And, it was very wonderful and such sweet memories. It's hard to figure out where he went. I mean, where did all that knowledge and experience and spirit go? I mean, maybe it's sort of in all of us, but it didn't just disappear.
You know, one thing that he really did for Liberty was he initiated so many different things, and that probably not only for Liberty, but anywhere he was and whoever he touched. My reflection about tonight was that Alan was really the Mr. Holland of Liberty. And the one thing that I loved about that movie was how Mr. Holland touched so many people, and Alan touched so many people throughout his time here and throughout his lifetime wherever he was. You know, with Alan's passing, that we can all carry on and maybe feel the utopian alive feeling again, maybe not in the same way. But, you know, as I looked around the room, there were so many people that were so involved in the community that aren't now, and I would love to see somehow some sort of a spark get lit to maybe in Alan's memory to maybe rejuvenate that and get people back to working for the good of the things that Alan stood for.
Thank you, Gary Siegel. Gary Silver is here. Hi, Gary.
Alan, oh geez, this is difficult. He's probably the most decent human being I've ever met in my life. He, you know, people talk about people after they pass, say, oh, they were decent, they were honest, whatever, and it seems very flippant, but never true words could have been said about a human being than Alan. He was giving, he was loving, he was caring, always had a smile on his face. Oh, whenever you were with him, you always felt better about yourself and about everything. He just was always happy. I worked with him a lot when he was a village trustee and I was the village attorney. And there were times, you know, we work on things. There were periods for months and months we would talk sometimes four or five times a day. So always calling him because he was the person, he was, you know, other than the mayor, he was the most active person on the board. So when I had a question about something, I'd call him. He was overworking himself for his incredibly large salary of about, if you figure out the hours he put in, probably amount to about 7 cents an hour by the time he was done. But he loved it. He loved Liberty. He loved life. He loved doing things with people. And I heard what Gary was saying, and it's true. He talks, you know, this utopian notion of his. And I was saying to Gary before that, you know, he's probably the only pragmatic idealist I've ever known. Most people are idealists. They live in a bubble, and they go through life just, you know, flighty, and now everything will be fine, but they do nothing about it, and they just hope it works out. He was somebody who really worked towards his ideals. He really tried to make what he thought was good for everyone reality. And he really was. All his decisions that I dealt with him, everything in his life was always about how can things be better for everybody. He was a very selfless person, incredibly humble. I mean, nobody knew about his accomplishments unless you literally pulled it out of him like a dentist yanking out a molar. But he was just a wonderful, wonderful person. To say he'll be missed is one of the great understatements that I've probably ever said.
Frank DeMeo, and when you spoke this evening during this memorial celebration of Alan's life, you brought out a flashlight, a Liberty Theater flashlight that you said you just found today, and you were shining it throughout the auditorium. Can you share a little bit with me what you shared with us inside about that flashlight?
I did find it this morning, and after looking at the slideshow, that said it all. Every single picture of Alan, he's got a grin that and a smile, and like Maurice said, his laughter, it's light. That's what he brought to all of us. He brought us light. Nobody can pick up that ball, but collectively we'll have to, because that's what he did. And it was so easy when I found that flashlight and I saw Liberty Theater. I said, there's a story to tell here, and I sat in my basement. I said, thanks, Alan. You gave me something to say today. So he found that for me.
One thing I always enjoyed when Alan would call and he'd say, Mom, this is Alan. Are you there? And I'd, of course, pick up, and then we'd chat and talk with one another. And he always had good things to say. He never had any bad things that were going on. Everything was always very positive. And he enjoyed Liberty so much. And he enjoyed the people. The people were, to him, he said, Mom, they're so genuine. He says, none of them are artificial. And he said, that's what makes the place a great place to live. So he was very happy here, very, very happy.
And were you at all surprised that he chose to make Liberty his home and to leave New York City? And prior to that, he'd been in San Francisco?
No, I wasn't at all, because he was brought up on the farm. And he loved nature. And he loved being with the forest and the land, and he liked gardening and vegetables, and he'd pick vegetables that we grew and stuff. So no, it wasn't a surprise at all that he would pick a place like Liberty to come to. Yeah, it was almost like coming back to his own roots. Yeah.
Do you fear your own death, as I sometimes do? He rose up and looked at me before his heart stopped. I told him, as the code team and I were running down the hall, that I wouldn't leave his side, which I didn't. The team worked on him for an hour and brought his heartbeat back, which allowed his partner John to be by his side and friends to gather in the room and love him through the night. As devastating as it was to watch Alan die, being with him for his dying was his precious gift to me. Something has been transmitted which will continue to reveal itself. Well, I think in thinking about Alan and doing some time traveling, it is time for me to do what he and I loved to do with each other, share a slice of cherry pie, and duke it out over Ms. Pac-Man. From the kitchen table out on the road, I'm Sabrina Artell. Thanks for joining me for Sabrina Artell's Trailer Talk. The music for the show, Patti Smith, People Have the Power. Trailer Talk is produced by Sabrina Artell. For more information, please visit trailertalk.net. Special thanks to WJFF Radio Catskill and the numerous people who have donated their time, resources, and conversations to make Trailer Talk possible. Thank you all who joined me in these conversations. I'm Sabrina Artell. Safe travels.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa, this week on Latino USA. It's been 10 years since a mass shooting at the gay nightclub Pulse in Orlando, Florida. We speak with a survivor.
Sometime when I close my eyes, I see when I was on the floor.
And look at what's changed for LGBTQ plus people since then. That's this week on Latino USA. Thursday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
This week's Retro Cocktail Hour has stereo overstimulation, the exotic sounds of the Voodoo 5, and a weekend in Waikiki with the Tiki Yaki Orchestra.